Welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. And here's your host, Conrad Cushman.
Welcome to episode 50 of the Everything Pro Wrestling podcast. I am your host, Conrad Cushman, and we are here today with a special retro review for episode 50. We are reviewing WrestleMania 17. That's right, in my opinion, the greatest WrestleMania of all time, WrestleMania 17. The theme song was Limp Bizkit, My Way. It's live in Houston, Texas, in the Astrodome. On commentary, we had Jim Ross and Paul Heyman. And on ring announcing, we had Howard Finkel. Does it get more epic? Does it get more legendary than this? I don't think so, guys. WrestleMania 17 opens up the show with an excellent video package highlighting everything that's been going on with the World Wrestling Federation. And they use a lot of these video packages with Classy Freddie Blassie talking in the background and just showing how WrestleMania has become a part of Americana and how it is such a big deal. Farmers are watching it. People all over the world are watching it. And I thought that this video package was very, very well done. I enjoyed it a lot, and it was really well done in my opinion. So whoever did it, shout out to you. Now, during this time, we actually hear the granddaddy of them all. We also saw WrestleMania 17 mentioned. These are things that Vince does not like to do now. He does not like to mention numbers after WrestleMania. He doesn't like being called the granddaddy of them all. He feels it makes WrestleMania dated. And I think he couldn't be more wrong. I absolutely think that this is the pinnacle of the Attitude Era. This is the top of the top when wrestling was at its hottest. Freaking crazy. And we're going to get into everything here. Like I said, Jim Ross and Paul Heyman are on commentary. Ring announcing is done by Howard Finkel. We got 11 matches on the card. And what's the first match to kick off the show? The Intercontinental Championship. How often can you say that these days? The Intercontinental title is defended on WrestleMania. And a couple manias after this, you won't be able to find this belt on the card. You have to wonder who the champion is and hope commentary mentions it. In this match, to kick off WrestleMania 17, we have Chris Jericho versus William Regal. We get a well-done video package for this. It shows William Regal, who is the commissioner at the time. He has everything set up. Regal is royalty, and he is talking about being disrespected as commissioner. And who comes out but Chris Jericho? And Jericho tells him to please shut the hell up. And back then, that was Jericho's catchphrase. And Regal felt disrespected, and he felt that the Regal regime was a major factor in everything going on in wrestling. And William Regal was not going to be besmirched by Chris Jericho. So after feeling disrespected, William Regal books Jericho in several unfair matches, whether it was a tables match against the Dudleys. Everything made sense. Jericho gets revenge on Regal. He ends up peeing in his tea. Now, as you could tell, even back then, Vince loved the pee jokes. So Jericho peed in Regal's tea, and Regal was drinking it. And this all led to this match. In this match, I thought we saw some good wrestling, a little bit of high-flying from two technical wrestlers from WCW. And we are recording this live, so I got to show some love to my man, Foul Original Wrestling, in the chat. Foul, what is going on, my good friend? So afterwards, we see some good wrestling between these two. They're from WCW, so we know that they can show up, do their thing. Jericho in this match is very over. The fans absolutely love Chris Jericho, and how can you not? We are doing great things for this. Jericho goes for a submission, and the crowd pops. Do you understand how over you have to be for the crowd to pop just because you attempted your submission hold? Great stuff here. Regal, a good heel at the time. He goes for a nice double underhook suplex off the top rope, gets a near fall from it. Chris Jericho goes for the Walls of Jericho again, only to get it reversed. And Regal, who was working over Jericho's left shoulder most of the match at that point, went for the Regal stretch. Jericho finds a way to get out of the Regal stretch, and he ends up hitting the Lion Salt. 1, 2, 3. Chris Jericho retains his Intercontinental Championship in what I thought was one hell of a match. Overall show for that, I give it a, or overall grade, excuse me, for that is a B. And speaking of that, speaking of B, we got Everything College Basketball in the chat. What's going on, guys? Glad to see you guys in here. Hopefully you stick around for the live review. This is all on YouTube, so if you're on YouTube, make sure you like the video. Also, if you're on anything else, if you want to listen to the podcast, subscribe to me on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podbean, wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. But we're doing a special episode. We're doing it big for everybody for this one. Wanted to be interactive and thought we could have some fun. I'm going to grab a little sip of water here. Red Cup of Doom, just for you, Rob. Held that up for him for the people who are just listening to the audio version of this. So after that match, a WCW limo pulls up. And who comes out but Shane McMahon? And Shane McMahon bought WCW the week before from underneath his father, who had promised to buy WCW and sign the contract at WrestleMania to make a big spectacle of it. But Shane had came in and he already showed up and signed the contract. So this adds on to their feud going into WrestleMania 17. Now we go backstage to the APA and Jacqueline. They're in the city of Houston, as I said before, and that's Bradshaw's a fellow Texan. So he's putting over everything that's ever happened in Texas, and he's making a big deal about WrestleMania while Farouk and Jacqueline are sitting back there playing cards. Absolutely love this. And they go out there and they say, let's go out and kick some ass. And they're ready. They go out. Here comes Right to Censor. Definitely one of the most hated heel groups in the Attitude Era. The group had Stevie Richards, Bull Buchanan, Val Venus, and the Godfather. So basically, Val Venus and Godfather were playing characters that weren't well represented on television. So they put them in this group. And, you know, Vince had to get his laugh on the people who said, oh, you're making my kids watch this horrible stuff. We should censor wrestling. Well, that's how Right to Censor was created. And I thought the group did a very good job because they're memorable and they have an annoying theme throughout. So Right to Censor will have Bull Buchanan, Val Venus, and the Godfather versus the team of Taz and the APA. Now, this match isn't anything spectacular, but I did have some good notes here for this. Bull Buchanan, very athletic for his size. Someone who I think is underrated. Bull Buchanan did some good things in here. I saw him do like a leaping clothesline while he was being Irish whipped into the ropes. Good stuff for a big man. Val Venus in The Godfather. They lost the pimp and porn star characters, which absolutely sucked. Yes, Stevie Richards had his white socks on, Rob. actually, I think it was mentioned on commentary, too, by Jim Ross. So they lost their gimmicks because of the censors, as I said before. And the APA, Bradshaw and Farouk. Now, I'm going to tell you guys something about myself. This is my favorite incarnation of Bradshaw and Farouk. A lot of people will probably say Farouk and the Nation. I love Farouk and the Nation, but it just didn't fully click, especially towards the end when they booted him out. I didn't like that. I thought he had better promos in the Nation, but Farouk was definitely more fun in the APA. And same with Bradshaw. I never was really the biggest JBL guy, but Bradshaw, the Texan who was ready to kick ass with Farouk, absolutely loved him. So they're out there. And the Godfather ends up missing the whole train splash, and he eats a Texas-sized clothesline from hell. Man, 1, 2, 3, grade C+. Fun match, though. It was exactly what you expected. Jacqueline's out there. You had Taz suplexing people. Everybody got a WrestleMania match. I thought it was good for what it was worth, and everybody got to see the Right to Censor get beat up. I was cool with it. And it was a cool-down match from the great Intercontinental title match that we opened up with. Next, we have Linda McMahon. She's backstage, and she's in a comatose state. And basically, she's in a coma with Trish Stratus pushing her around. Now, at this point, Trish was already embarrassed by the McMahons after she had the affair with Vince. And Stephanie didn't like that. And they're basically bossing Trish around, telling her to crush ice with a spoon, using her hand, all types of BS. And Stephanie's backstage showing off her daddy's girl costume and whatever. It leads into promoting the match between Vince and Shane. Next up, we have one of my favorite divisions. It's for the Hardcore Championship. We have a triple threat match. The champion, Raven, will defend his belt against Kane and The Big Show. At this point, guys, I noticed that Ross and Heyman are really clicking together on commentary. These two have undeniable chemistry, and I don't know if WWE realized how good they had it at the time with these guys working together. But Raven is the first one to come out. Then we had Kane, then Big Show. And while Big Show's entering, the brawl begins between Raven and Kane. And everybody's all into this. The crowd is feeling this. They love the hardcore division. People wanted to see people getting knocked out with weapons. They did not care. It was at all costs, folks. Let me see here. Connor, what is going on, my friend? Foul Original says, one of my favorite hardcore matches of all time. Same here, brother. Same here. Rob says, they almost cut the power to the whole building, LOL. This is true. So they brawl on the floor into the crowd. The fans are into the action. They go backstage, and we see Kane body slammed on pallets. There is going to be so much stuff in this to where people are getting hurt, knocked down. It's flipping crazy. So Kane gets slammed on some pallets, and that's like the nothing of this match. Afterwards, Raven is getting gets thrown into a wall, and he puts a big hole in the wall. I mean, these are flimsy walls, but back then I'm thinking, whoa, this dude just went through an entire wall. And we see this happen, and then Big Show locks himself in like a storage cage. I don't know if you guys had him in like your high school gyms and stuff, but you know, like a cage where you put all the equipment and stuff. He takes Raven in there, tries to lock it to pin him. Kane was such a beast back then that he took the freaking cage off of the hinges, and then he threw it down and the padlock down too. So that couldn't stop Kane. Kane comes in, he starts beating ass. Raven's just basically trying to stay alive and like get out of the way of everybody. After he rips it off, Raven is thrown through a window. Like, he is grabbed by Kane with a garden hose and thrown through a window. Raven is bleeding. I don't know if that was real glass or what, but Raven was hurt, dude. I felt so bad for this dude in the match. Then Big Show puts Kane through a door, like a big metal door that's backstage in those days. Boom! Right through. Kane's down on his ass. This is so funny. Then Big Show goes to like choke slam Kane, and Kane grabs him by his throat. And this is all hilarious. I'm laughing the entire time watching this just because it looks so ridiculous that two big dudes are just choking each other backstage. And, they both finally go through a wall, same thing. And after that, we see Raven. He gets into a golf cart, and Raven almost, like, dies. I don't know how he crashed this thing in seconds. And as Foul said in the chat, that damn golf cart is so true, dude. He ends up going all the way off and gets stuck, so he can't do anything. Kane grabs a referee eventually, and he gets on the cart, and they start driving forward. He hits Raven with a golf cart. Like, dude, what is going on in this match? And Raven's down, and Raven just sells it. All you hear is a loud, ah! And he's grabbing his leg. Oh, dude, this is hardcore matches back in the Attitude Era. Just classic stuff. They brawl through catering. This is back when wrestlers weren't just back there all the time. And then they go through Gorilla, and they're on top of the WrestleMania 17 stage. And from there, Kane ends up big booting Big Show, who had Raven pressed over his head. And that leads to both of them falling over towards the stage of WrestleMania. They fall through like the actual structure. And as they go through, they're down. And Kane looks over and he says, why not? He drops a big elbow. They kept saying leg drop, but I think it was supposed to be an elbow drop off the top because his leg didn't connect with anybody. And Kane ends up pinning the Big Show. 1, 2, 3. Dude, this was absolute fun. This is the hardcore division was what that was supposed to be, just fun. and you had people wrestling in matches at the same time. I give it a grade of a B. I put fun next to it. Really interesting to watch. I enjoyed it. Now, we go backstage to the man, Kurt freaking Angle. And Kurt Angle's backstage watching footage of Chris Benoit making him tap. Edge and Christian come backstage and they're proclaiming that they're going to win TLC 2 tonight and become the tag team champions. Kurt Angle says that a tap out doesn't count unless there's an official. And a tap out doesn't count if no one was around and it wasn't an official match. And he starts going crazy. Edge and Christian back off, and Kurt is just sitting there looking at the footage. Then we get some scenes cutting back to Jimmy Snuka and other legends at WWF New York. And if you didn't know, WWF New York at the time was a restaurant in Times Square where they had all the pay-per-views being shown. They had legends go there to do autograph signings and a bunch of stuff. It's closed now, but they were trying back then. They were trying to make some moves. Also, Kurt Angle, The Rock, arrives to his locker room. And they show him, and this is hyping up the big main event that's going to happen tonight between The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Dude, wait till we get to that match. Wait till we get to that match. Now, I want to take a second to pause the action here and let you guys know that Everything College Basketball right now is the hottest podcast out there. We have March Madness going on. You never know what to expect. And the tournament is getting ready to get started. So if you guys haven't, type in on Facebook, Everything College Basketball, and join their group. They also put out a podcast every Sunday. One of the best podcasts out there. It keeps me up to date on my college hoops and lets me know who's coming in as new recruits for next year for my favorite team. Make sure you check out Everything College Basketball. Anyway, we're getting back into this WrestleMania 17 show. And the next match that we're going to have up here is for the European Championship. The European title at the time is being defended by the champion Test. Test is one of my favorites during the Attitude Era. So, you know, I make fun of a lot of people for liking crappy guys sometimes. And I am at no fault of my own. Test was one of my favorites. I think he really could have been more, but they just didn't give the guy a chance. But I absolutely love Test back in these days. Eddie Guerrero is the challenger for the belt. He comes out with Perry Saturn. We get a highlight package. What do you know? Storytelling back in these days of Eddie Guerrero as the guest referee screwing Test against X-Pac when he was in X-Factor. Bro, really? So Test is, Test is basically screwed over. This leads to a match. Eddie Guerrero is doing a great job in this match selling for Test. Anything Test does, he makes look explosive. It's a big move. And I thought Test did really well in this match. I thought he was a great singles act, and Test had loads and loads of potential. I don't know what stopped Test or what got in his way. It makes no sense to me. So during this time, Test ends up hitting an elbow off the top rope. He ends up getting sidestepped in the match by Eddie Guerrero. One of the parts I always remember about this match is when Eddie Guerrero got his foot stuck in the ropes and he was hanging upside down. Test was hanging upside down at one point and the ref couldn't get his foot out of the rope. So he goes over and gets distracted by Eddie. Saturn gets him out and puts the boots to him a little bit, helping out. He gets his cheap shots in. And during that time, Eddie Guerrero sees an opening, and you get lots of freaking heat for Eddie for doing this. Eddie was not liked as much as he was later on in his career, but Eddie did a damn good job, man, as he always did with with his match. And you see something in the crowd here that I noticed. Lots and lots of signs, like, there are signs everywhere in the crowd just basically saying different things. I miss that at shows. Like, why don't we have people bring signs to the show anymore and, like, get hype for the matches and have fun? It's just not like that anymore, I guess. Maybe I'm out of touch when I say that. Maybe they're out of touch. I don't know. but I thought that was really fun. Tess ends up hitting two nice tilt-a-whirl slams on Eddie Guerrero. I thought he did a damn good job with those. A distracted ref, Saturn comes in the ring and ends up hitting the three family gradunza. I can't remember what it's called. It's like a twisting fisherman suplex, though. And after he hits that, I don't even know if he went for a pinfall. I don't think he did. Saturn ends up being in the way. Tess gives him a big boot. And after that, Dean Malenko comes out. And now what's Dean Malenko doing here? Well, Dean Malenko interferes, and Eddie ends up being able to grab the European title from Saturn, who slid it into him. Headshot to Test. 1, 2, 3. We have a new European champion. It took three people to beat Test, but you know what? Eddie Guerrero deserved it at the time. Eddie was doing great work. Good to see him back. New champ, Eddie Guerrero. I give this match a grade of a B-. Lots of fun stuff here. So afterwards with that, we get Mick Foley, who's backstage. He gets his little cheap pop in for Houston right here in Houston, Texas. And he basically says that he's going to be the referee for Vince and Shane, and he's going to call it down the middle, but he doesn't want any shenanigans in the match because Foley was the former commissioner before this and Vince fired him. So we've got an interesting dynamic here set up. Now, with that being said, guys, if you're listening on the podcast, this is going to be where I take a little bit of a break here for you guys. And when we return, we are going to start off with the next match on this card, match 5, Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit.
This is Brian Mazeek, the hardest working man in sports and gaming, and you are listening to my man Conrad Cushman and Everything Pro Wrestling.
Folks, we are back with episode 50 of the Everything Pro Wrestling podcast. To celebrate episode 50, we are reviewing WrestleMania 17. We are live on YouTube at this moment, and you guys are listening to us on the Everything Pro Wrestling podcast. And we are back to talk about Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit. Dude, what a match. So Kurt Angle comes out in the beginning of this, and you guys are probably going to hate me if you're from Texas or whatever, but freaking Kurt Angle does a great job healing it up on the microphone. He talks about, I should be revered. I'm an Olympic hero. I have gold medals. You know, the usual shtick that Kurt did back then when he was a heel. But Kurt Angle then talks about talks about people needing to grow up. One of my favorite Kurt Angle moments. He says, guys, what's going on with the cowboy hats? You're not 7 years old anymore. Lose the freaking hats. And then Heyman looks at JR and laughs and says the exact same thing. Yeah, lose the hat, JR. And afterwards, we get the Canadian crippler, Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit comes out, and he is intense. Benoit was all business. One of my favorites at the time, too. You see a lot of catcher's catch can wrestling in this. They start off with actual wrestling holds. Yippee-ki-yay, knock it off, Rob. See, these guys are making me laugh in the live chat. So Kurt Angle is out there wrestling Chris Benoit, and Benoit looked like he could hang. Like, I like the way they made this look. Like, it looked like a shoot a little bit. And they're in there wrestling each other, trying to lock on holds, put on arm bars, whatever it takes. And during that process, we get people down, holds are being put in, and it looks like the entire time Chris Benoit is going for the Crippler Crossface. Now, when he goes for the Crippler Crossface, the fans know what the setup is. People are into this. Dude, the Attitude Era, this proves that you're over or wrestling was hot back then. Anytime someone's going for a submission hold or a lock on somebody, they absolutely get the people out of their seat. They jump up and they're like, oh, it's happening. It's happening. It's just amazing to see something like that. And that's what happens when you protect finishes in pro wrestling. So he goes for that several times, but there is no Crippler Crossface fully locked in without Angle being too close to the ropes or figuring out a way out of it. Now, after Angle cheap shots Benoit, the psychology changes from it being a pure shoot wrestling match to, oh, this is a fight now, because Kurt Angle's sick and tired of Benoit trying to make him tap out. The storyline is that Benoit says he can make Angle tap, and Angle says he never is going to tap to Benoit. So after that, it turns into a fight. We start seeing belly-to-belly suplexes on Benoit. Benoit putting in the chops and looking vicious and intense each and every time. Chris Benoit was truly a rabid Wolverine at this time, and he did a great job in the ring, showing his technical skills and really putting on a damn good match with Kurt Angle. I think this is one of the sleeper matches on this card. So with that being said, we get to Benoit hitting his suplexes for near falls, and he sends people sternum first into the corner, then hitting multiple German suplexes. Chris Benoit killing it. Kurt Angle then attempts an ankle lock, but Chris Benoit figures out a way to reverse it into an ankle lock. And then afterwards, in the Attitude Era too, let me state this beforehand. Yes, Benoit had Angle in an ankle lock. They used each other's finishers. And if you played the video games at the time, it's obvious that people always wanted to use the other guy's finisher. I think it was like a way of insulting them or, you know, trying to beat them with their own move. So afterwards, he gets Angle. He kicks out and locks Benoit in the crossface. So now Angle has Benoit in the crossface using his move. And this gets all so confusing when you're trying to state this to people. But there's a ref bump. Now, after the ref bump, the crossface is on and Angle taps out. But there's no referee around. Typical story when there's a ref bump, right? So Angle slam. The ref is stirring. 1, 2, kick out by Chris Benoit. So afterwards, Angle decides, you know what? I'm going for a moonsault. Kurt does those high moonsaults that look like a thing of beauty. Kurt goes up. He rises up for the moonsault, and Chris Benoit gets his knees up. After that, Chris Benoit calls for a diving headbutt. And, dude, those are so painful to watch. Like him, Daniel Bryan, anybody who does the diving headbutt, please stop doing that move. Like, it's, I don't know. I don't want to see anybody, like, busting their head on that stuff. And Benoit used to go crazy when he did it. Benoit hits it on Kurt Angle. And 1, 2, Angle now kicks out. Kurt Angle is able to get a low blow in on Kurt, or I'm sorry, Kurt hits a low blow on Benoit, and then Angle figures out a way to counter a roll-up into a roll-up of his own, and he gets a handful of tights. 1, 2, 3, Kurt Angle wins. And this was a technical masterpiece, like I said. Really good if you like catcher's catch can wrestling. It shows how to tell a story in the ring, because as soon as the people started getting bored with the shoot wrestling, boom, now it's a fight, and they're going to make things happen with it. I really thought it was a job well done by both competitors, and I thought they did really, really well with this. I gave it a grade of an A-. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I definitely think that was deserving of that grade at the time. Really good match, man. And, yeah, I just miss seeing matches like that, especially in this era today that we're in. Not saying that we don't get great matches, but I miss seeing that real, like, part of wrestling. I mean, you get it from, like, Chad Gable, who wrestled Kurt Angle on Monday Night Raw, actually. But really good stuff right there. Well done. Well done by both of them. We get backstage. We have Michael Cole asking William Regal if he's okay. Regal's like, am I okay? What do you mean? And then all of a sudden we hear, we hear some noises coming. And they're like, what's that? And it's in Regal's office. And we have Kamala standing on his desk holding stuff up, and Kim Chi is yelling at Kamala to get down. Kamala is one of my favorite legends. Absolutely love Kamala. And Kim Chi's yelling at him, and this is all set up for the gimmick battle royal that we're going to see later on. Really fun. Fun scene. We get another segment here where they're in Fort Hood. And when I saw this, it made me think of 9/11. And it's sad because WrestleMania 17 is probably one of my, like, last really good memories before we saw. I mean, I think of the Alliance and stuff like that, too. But this was, like, the last memory of wrestling to where I thought it was, like, super fun, Attitude Era, whatever you may want to call it. I put that stamp on it right here. But 9/11 changed a lot of things and changed the game for how people view things. And 9/11 kind of changed my life, too. It affected my career, if you guys knew what I did at one point. At the same time, it also changed how, like, my high school life was. The third day in the high school, 9/11 happened, and I was just like, whoa, whoa. And I was sitting in Global and I was like, man, this is serious stuff. We didn't learn anything for the rest of the day. And it was completely different. And during this time, though, when this pay-per-view is happening, I'm in eighth grade, life's a breeze. I'm like, man, I'm about to graduate. I'm going to high school. This is what I plan on doing. Am I going to have the same friends, everything else? Yeah, just different, man. Way to reflect back on that, you know? So they're in Fort Hood, and we see people who are just happy to see the WWE, the armed forces. And it was really cool that WWE went over there to see them just to brighten those guys' day up. They do all this freaking crappy work all day long, protecting people, doing whatever they have to do. And the WWE superstars really put a smile on their face, what WWE has always been about. And I thought that was really great stuff. And I was happy to see that from them. So very cool to see that. And I thought I would just make mention of that. I don't want to put the whole review down and make it all sorrowful for what we're talking about and what's going on. But I thought it was just something to bring up. Now, we get to the next part of this, and Kurt Angle is being interviewed with Kevin Kelly. Angle brags, and he's talking about, what do you mean, respect Chris Benoit? I just beat the man. And then Chris Benoit shows up out of nowhere and puts Angle down and puts him in a crippler crossface, and Angle is tapping out again, and commentary brings it up so that you notice it. And afterwards, they cut away from it because everyone's trying to break them up, and there's a bunch of rummage going on backstage. And now we get highlights for the next match. We have highlights of Chyna being injured at a pay-per-view. I think it was the Royal Rumble where she went into Ivory and they said that she caught whiplash or hurt her neck. I don't know what the storyline was supposed to be fully at that time. I can't think of what the injury was. But she was injured, had a neck brace on. And they show her accepting the match against Ivory, embarrassing Ivory. They put her in a bra and panties match, and Ivory was in right to censor at the time, so she dressed like she was a nun, and nobody wanted to see that. But she ends up stripping her in her bra and panties, and she's got on the old grandma white panties. And I never thought I'd be talking about grandma panties on a podcast. What has happened to my life? But Ivory runs up, and nobody wanted to see that, like I said back then. And she runs up the stage. She's embarrassed. This leads to this big match. Ivory comes out right to censor, had the most annoying music. I can't even describe it. It's just freaking painful to listen to. And I bet you Vince thought it was funny. Chyna comes out, and Chyna has the rocket with her, and she's shooting it into the crowd. People are feeling Chyna. Now, Right to Censor has been banned from ringside during this because a lot of people during the time would wonder, why didn't Right to Censor come out to help? Well, they've been banned from ringside because Chyna knew they would get involved. So Chyna dominates this entire match. Like, Ivory had some stuff in the beginning, but after that, freaking Chyna dominated this entire match. She freaking comes in there. She press slams Ivory. She power bombs her. She covers her like she's nothing, and it works, though. 1, 2, 3, Chyna was the new women's champion, and you had to give this a grade of a C here. Not anything horrible. It was what I expected. Nothing too bad. And after this match, the only thing on my mind was, who was going to beat Chyna, even back then? Like, who is going to be the person to stop Chyna? Chyna's last televised WWE appearance. No, Rob, that is actually not true. Chyna ended up appearing afterwards. I think she fought like Trish, and then she had a match with Lita at the next pay-per-view. So she still stayed around for about a month or two more before everything happened. And to tie into WrestleMania this year, Chyna is going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame with D-Generation X this year. At first, I was sour on it, but you know what? I'm happy to see Chyna going into the Hall of Fame. Can't get any better than that, right? Like, good for Chyna. I'm happy for her. Now, we get backstage, another segment. Linda, confirmed by Trish, that she's all medicated, that she's going to be ready to go when she's out there. Linda's going to be fine. And then Cole barges into Vince's office, and all of a sudden, we get highlights on how Linda McMahon's been treated. Vince wants a divorce. And you know how Vince gets all nasty and stuff. I want a divorce, Linda. A divorce. And then we get to hear about the sale of WCW. And Shane McMahon hates how his father has treated his mom. And he is going to beat the crap out of his dad for what he did to his mother. It's a storyline you could get behind. And it feels weird that WWF being represented by Vince is the heel and WCW represented by Shane is the babyface. Now, before we get into the street fight, guys, I want to present you with a little small, tiny, tiny nugget of information that you may not know. Did you know Sean Stasiak ruined this match for everybody who was in the stands that night from WCW? If you go back, there's a shot of everybody there. I know we saw like Lance Storm and a couple other guys. I think Palumbo and O'Hara and those guys were up there. They were supposed to have a part in this match. But freaking Sean Stasiak ran his mouth on a radio show basically saying that they were going to be there and run out, that Vince called it off, and they made them stay in the press box for the entire time. Vince was already punishing the WCW guys early into this, and I don't know why Sean Stasiak did that. Freaking sucks. He gets a bad rap for it now. I know a lot of guys complain about him doing that, but damn. Come on, Sean. Got to be better than that, bro. So we get a street fight. We have Vince McMahon versus Shane McMahon with the referee Mick Foley there. We get the entrances. Shane doesn't even have Here Comes the Money. Shane comes out to No Chance in Hell, just like Vince. And the song's basically on a loop during their entrances. Foley's out there as well. This match is very cool. I love the father-son dynamic for this match. There's a part in the match where Shane is starting to beat the crap out of his dad, and Stephanie comes in and stops Shane from punching Vince. And Shane's like, get out of my way, get out of my way. Stephanie pushes him in the middle of the ring and then slaps him like she's trying to slap sense into him. And Shane just basically does the get out of my way. Stephanie runs away. She doesn't want any parts of that. And the story being a fight makes this 10 times better. Could you imagine if they told Vince and Shane, hey, why don't you guys go out there and actually have a wrestling match? That would have been the drizzling shits. Like, bad. Bad, 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 bad. So they end up going through all of the usual tactics in a street fight. They use the weapons. Shane ends up getting a kendo stick and beating his dad with it. Shane hits his dad with a monitor, and it feels really weird to see Heyman rooting for Vince when you know damn well Heyman really was cheering for Shane. Looking back at it now, but at the time it felt right. So Shane hits Vince in the head with a monitor. Vince is laid out on the table. Classic spot that we still get to this day with Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon goes up to the top. Stephanie's holding her father's hand, and right when Shane leaps off, Stephanie pulls Vince up. And boom, Shane crashes and burns through the announce table. Shane McMahon is down and out. He's not getting up. Now, previously in the promos, backstage with Vince and Trish, Trish was instructed to bring Linda to the ring when Shane was knocked out and down and out. And at this point, here comes Linda and Trish. Trish is wheeling Linda down the ramp, and the fans are all looking like, oh, what's going on? The fans' attention go right to that. And afterwards, we see Trish come to the ringside. Linda's all set up, and Trish goes up to Vince to check on him, and she slaps Vince right across his face because of everything he did to her, from making her bark like a dog. I think that happened before this. Dumping all the stuff on her, putting her in matches to get beat up by other women wrestlers, Regal turning on her. It was just a mess without this whole thing. So afterwards, Trish slaps Vince across the face. Stephanie and Trish get into a cat fight, and they're rolling around on the ground. The guys are going crazy for it. So where am I here? So Foley comes in and he breaks it up. And then Foley gets slapped by Stephanie. She runs up the ramp and Trish follows her. So the girls are out of the picture now. And this will lead to a feud later on between the two. And we'll get into that when we do some future retro reviews. But Trish goes up the ramp with her. Vince sees his wife sedated in a wheelchair. And Foley stops him saying, don't you dare, Vince. Don't you dare touch that woman. And Vince ain't going for it. Vince hits Foley in the back with the chair, and Vince isn't a wrestler, so Foley's not selling that shit. And as soon as Foley turns around, wham, he gets waffled in the head with a chair. And this was a different time when you could just smash people in the face with chairs. And Foley's down. So while Foley is down and out, the fans begin to call Vince an asshole as he starts to set Linda up and puts her in the ring. He puts the chair in the ring and sets it up in the corner. And he sets Linda up. He throws trash cans in the ring. trash cans that he's going to use on Shane. He beats the crap out of Shane with these trash cans over and over and over again. He does it once, then he does it twice with another one. He grabs a third one and says, yeah, you're going to want to watch this. And as soon as he gets the trash can up, Linda's sitting in the chair. Linda has not moved at all. Whoever, like, trained her to do this, I don't know if she took anything to do it, but Linda, you did a damn good job with this. Linda's sitting in the chair looking plain like she's really in a coma and she doesn't move. And then all of a sudden, Linda stands up. The fans go apeshit. You would have thought money was falling out of the crowd. Vince is standing there with the garbage can up, ready to like annihilate Shane, who's sitting there like this on his knees. And Shane just goes, turn around. And Vince turns around and sees Linda standing up, and he's shocked. And right then and there, Linda kicks him square in the nuts. Vince falls to the ground, and it is all over for Vince. Vince is down because the boys are hurting. Robert says one of the best manias of all time, or mania moments of all time, in my opinion. Hell yeah, Rob. I can agree with that. So afterwards, Vince falls down, and he's down. He's hurt. And what happens? Shane McMahon grabs one of the trash cans, and you're wondering, what's Shane going to do? Vince is in the corner, and he sets up the trash can, how he does now, and he goes from one side of the ring, and Vince is in the other corner, and Shane hits, at the time, it was known to us ECW fans as a Van Terminator, but it later became known as a Coast to Coast. This is the best one Shane has ever delivered, in my opinion. Shane went freaking flying, and Vince, the garbage can crushes Vince, and Vince's like ricochet reaction made it perfect. Vince is down. Foley gets back into the ring. One, two, three. And oh, I'm sorry, I forgot that Foley used Socko on Vince too before that. But one, two, three, Shane wins. Dude really worked all of the tricks into this match, and it made it so good, dude. So good. Better than what we get most of the time today, dude. Well done match. Made Shane look good. Vince look good. I think it was one of the best matches with two non-wrestlers in it ever. A minus, dude. A minus. I don't care. Don't at me. Like, I thought that was a really good match. I don't know. I thought it was just very well done. Everything just worked out perfectly for it. So good, dude. So good for it. And I think right here, guys, is a good time to take another break. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with part three of our WrestleMania 17 review. Hang in there.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marty the Moth Casals from Lucha Underground and more, and you're watching Conrad Cushman and Everything Pro Wrestling. It's going to be fun.
Guys, we are back once again. Shout out to everybody who made it in here from YouTube into the live chat. I appreciate the hell out of you guys. Shout out to Rob, Foul Original. Foul has a great YouTube channel and a podcast. Make sure you guys give him a subscribe as well. Everything College Basketball, they've got YouTube podcasts. Type them in. Give them a subscribe. Rob is always someone who helps me out. He has done reviews with me on New Japan Pro Wrestling, WWE. When we can have Robert on, we always love to have him on. So I appreciate him and him for all of his support. Thank you. And to all of the new members of the Everything Pro Wrestling Facebook group, I saw we're almost at 300. Shout out to you guys as well. I appreciate you guys for joining the group. And have fun, have conversation in there. But let's get back to this WrestleMania 17 review, shall we? We go to WrestleMania Access, and we see the Hardy Boys there. And the Hardy Boys are talking about how crazy TLC is going to be and everything that they're going to do. Dude, I'm telling you, the Hardy Boys are absolutely one of my favorite tag teams during this time. Matt Hardy was another one of my favorites. Dude, just great tag team. So Hardy Boys are at WWF New York. They show them talking TLC 2 during the week with Kevin Kelly. Freaking amazing. Now, we got Triple H and Undertaker backstage, and they're starting to warm up for their match as well. Big things ahead for this card. I'm going to have a sip from the red mystery cup of doom, as Flood and Robert kept putting it. Just a red solo cup full of water, boys. That's all you need to know. So match 8 is for the WWF tag team titles, and they're being defended in TLC 2. Now, if you guys have seen my previous videos, this is in my top five WrestleMania matches of all time. So we have the Hardy Boys versus Edge and Christian versus the Dudley Boys. All of these types of matches started, in my opinion, going back to October of 99 for the TIT tournament. And that's the Terry Invitational Tournament. Don't be a pervert, guys. We had a ladder match between the Hardy Boys and Edge and Christian. And this really changed the game of how they were looked at. I mean, before that, you knew they were like good, but you didn't know that they could be big stars from all of this. And they freaking got standing ovations for it. And then you threw in the Dudley Boys into the mix, who were a damn good team. And you have magic, bro. You've got tremendous magic between all three teams. This is a classic three-way rivalry, one of the greatest three-way rivalries in the history of professional wrestling. Stamp it, boys. So Edge and Christian get jumped by both teams, to start the match. This match changed the game. It was hard-hitting spots, and everything was set up so well. They started off with some regular moves, people slamming ladders into people's heads, a bunch of different things, tag moves, people getting flapjacked, all types of stuff. Holy Toledo. And people were just putting their bodies on the line throughout this match. At one point in the middle of the match, we had Spike Dudley come out. He's giving Dudley dogs to everybody. Edge and Christian freaking getting Dudley dogs. Dude, Spike Dudley was the man. I feel so bad for that dude, for some of the bumps he had to take throughout his career. But Dudley dogged the Edge and Christian. Rhino comes out. He starts goring people. The Hardy Boys eat gores from Rhino. Then we have Lita, who comes out, and she gets some moves in. But right after, she eats a 3D from the Dudley Boys. They were not playing around. And then this match just goes crazy afterwards. Rhino eats a doomsday device then from the Dudley Boys. And I think Heyman called it a Dudley device or whatever. I don't know. There was some talk about Papa Dudley and how he should practice safe sex as well from Jim Ross. I thought it was funny, but craziness ensues in this match. Afterwards, it says that Jim Ross said this, and I quote, Lita jerks Edge off, off the ladder. Jim Ross had way too many moments like that in his career. There was another one where he said it with Triple H and The Rock in like a strap match. The Rock jerked Triple H off. I'm like, JR, you got to put some syllables in between that, bro. Sounds wrong. So we see that Edge gets pulled off the ladder, and Jeff Hardy sets up a big ladder to the outside. Rhino and Spike Dudley are laid out on tables. This is the classic spot that you see in the Don't Try This at Home. Jeff Hardy does a Swanton bomb. Only one table breaks, but Rhino and Spike basically goes through the table and eats all of this move with Jeff Hardy's tailbone, and Rhino falls over to the side. Really good spot. Freaking brutal. Jesus De Leon, what is going on, my man? So afterwards, Jeff Hardy hits the Swanton. They're all down and out right now. I know Jeff's tailbone's hurting. He's got to be holding his back. Dude, the pure pain from that, I don't even want to ever imagine what that feels like. So afterwards, we get a different spot. D-Von and Christian climb up, and then Matt Hardy removes the ladder from underneath both of them, because why the hell not? They're not his tag partner. And you see Christian and D-Von hanging from the cable that's holding the tag belts up, and they're sitting there. D-Von falls off first. D-Von falls off, and you know he does the classic shaking his leg like, oh, God, oh, God. And then Christian falls over. Now, during that time, let me see if I can get some visual aids here. There were a bunch of ladders set up, like spaced out evenly like this, so that a person could go across. Well, the plan looks like it was for Jeff to come across and then get onto this next spot. Jeff, unfortunately, couldn't make it to the last ladder. He tried to, like, catch his balance, but the ladder was going over. That shit's tough. I'm not mad at him for that. And eventually, Jeff climbs up, though, and he gets onto the cable the same way. Jeff's holding onto the cable, and his legs are stuck in the ladder. So Bubba Ray is pulling the ladder back and trying to get his legs off of it. He ends up swinging Jeff forward, and Edge is on a big ladder. And that's the classic spear from off the top, Jeff Hardy goes down. I know that took at least a year off both their careers. Like, they, one day when you see them and you're like, man, why didn't you wrestle a little bit longer? Think of that spot, because, dude, that sucked for Edge's knees and Jeff Hardy's entire body. Classic, though, and I loved it. That was my favorite spot in this match. I went crazy as a kid for that. I remember watching it live, like, oh, my God, did you see that? I wish I could have rewound it at the time. I was just like, this is crazy. So we see that. The spear happens. Matt Hardy and Bubba Ray are up there now, and they're fighting for the titles. But Rhino's not going for it. Rhino ends up pushing these guys off of the ladder, and they end up going through tables set up on the outside. There's like four stacked tables. They stack ladders, tables and chairs everywhere. They go through the table. That spot always looked brutal because wood busting everywhere. Matt Hardy's back's cut up. Bubba Ray looked like he friggin' went down a flight of stairs. They're both laid out. They're done. They're, you know, like, these are the spots to get people out of the matches. And then D-Von starts to climb up the ladder, but Edge grabs D-Von's leg. And while Christian is struggling, D-Von's a little bit higher up. Christian's struggling. Rhino comes in, puts Christian on his shoulders. Christian grabs the belts. And the winners of TLC 2, Edge and Christian, new tag team champions. With all that said, dude, grade, A+, period. It's in my top five. It's an A+. Damn good match. This match really changed how people enjoyed those TLC matches, dude. And as Jesus De Leon in the chat just said, I love that match. I love the match too, brother. I thought it was really, really good. Very fun, epic. I can't think of anything else, man. Really good. This leads us to WWF Access highlights. People back then were amazed with all this, that fans were having conventions and people are there like signing things. They're getting a call action with Kevin Kelly. They're doing all this different stuff. And I think fan access is even crazier today. So if you guys have not been to a WrestleMania yet, I urge you to go at least one time in your life. Just spend the money. Go on a vacation. Go somewhere where you've never been before, dude. So much fun. Bring some of your friends with you. You'll have a good time. Promise you. Lane, that should have been the Hardys winning it. Hey, I was a Hardy Boys fan too. I was rooting for them to win, but I can't hate on that match. That was an A+ match at the end of the day. Yeah, but make sure you guys check out a WrestleMania or Fan Access eventually. Finkel gets on the mic. Howard Finkel announces an attendance of 67,925 people. Good Lord, that's a lot of people. So there's all those people in there. And now we get to the Gimmick Battle Royal. The Gimmick Battle Royal is so fun, man. So WCW had closed its doors, and for years people were wondering what happened to the likes of Mean Gene Okerlund and Bobby the Brain Heenan. Pause for some water. And we're back. Just water in the cup, boys. Just water. So Mean Gene Okerlund is there. He's live. It feels so good to see Mean Gene back. And with Mean Gene being gone, and same with Bobby the Brain Heenan, it's really sad to go back and watch this, but these two still put a smile on my face when I went back and watched the commentary. Just funny, man. They had all these one-liners and zingers. Like, these dudes were the best at doing it. So Mean Gene Okerlund's out there, and he's calling his action, and they're basically all they do is introduce these guys. A lot of these guys were way past their prime at this point, but who cared? It was fun to see them. So we have first the Bushwhackers coming out. They come out, they lick Mean Gene's head, and Bobby Heenan said, "Oh, looks like they got the rest of your hair." And then Mean Gene says, "Yeah, they got all of it, I think." And they're just freaking hilarious throughout. I can't do it justice like Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gene Okerlund can. We had Duke the Dumpster Drozzy come out. I don't know whoever liked that guy. But Duke the Dumpster, you know what? He wasn't a bad wrestler. That gimmick just sucked. Ugh. The Iron Sheik. Yes. Oh, Hulk Hogan, break back, make humble. Love Iron Sheik. Sheiky, baby. Earthquake. He was actually almost called John Tenta in this match. So that was funny, too. The Goon, the hockey player who came out with the stupid, stupid fake ice skates and the stick. And you know what's the weird part? That guy was actually a really good wrestler, and I'll let you guys look him up, Bill Irwin. Really good wrestler, and he was just stuck with that gimmick. But it was fun, though. People know him more for being the goon than anything else, I feel. Doink the Clown came out. I don't know who played Doink at this time, but good to see Doink come out. Kamala and Kimchi with Robert's favorite, Harvey Whippleman. Harvey Whippleman was the doctor of style. After Slick was gone, they were trying to say, like, Harvey Whippleman's style was horrible. And they were just talking about Harvey, and I think he worked backstage for the company at the time. Funny stuff. Repo Man comes out. There was another joke with him. Yeah, last week he repossessed my mother-in-law's car, and then I forgot, something was said, and then Bobby Heenan said, yeah, everyone's had your mother-in-law a couple years ago, and Mean Gene bust out a laugh on the air that you knew was real. We had James E. Cornette out there, Nikolai Volkoff, Michael P.S. Hayes, the one-man gang, the gobbledygooker, Tugboat, a.k.a. Uncle Fred, and Hillbilly Jim, Brother Love, and Sergeant Slaughter. Brother Love and James E. Cornette were put in there so that they could have a little WrestleMania moment together, and it was good to see two of the best of friends in the world, Jim Cornette and Bruce Prichard, get to be in the ring for a second with each other. Good stuff. Sergeant Slaughter, classic commentary. In the end, the Iron Sheik wins the Battle Royal because he couldn't go over the top rope. And like Bobby Heenan said when he came out, it's going to be WrestleMania 38 by the time he gets to the ring. Rob, don't make me sad, man. Don't make me cry. He said, only thing I wish is that we had Gorilla on commentary. Yeah, man. Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby Heenan, Gene Okerlund, all those guys from the 80s are absolutely adored by older fans such as myself. I love the old commentary. And I thought Bobby Heenan and Mean Gene did a damn good job with this. After Slaughter gets eliminated, he gets back in that ring, and he locks in the Cobra Clutch for the feel-good moment for the fans, and they celebrate just so the fans can be happy. Very good, man. Very good moment. With this, I don't know if I graded this, did I? I didn't give it anything. You know what? I'm going to give this a grade of a C. Not that it was bad. I thought it was fun. Fun. You could have fun with a C match and above, I feel. Fun. We get to match 10. This was another sleeper match I don't think people really appreciated at the time. This match had The Game, Triple H, versus The Undertaker. We get highlight packages for this match, and Triple H says that he's beaten everybody, but Taker comes out and says, you never beat me, and you could try me, and I'll make you famous. And this led to some hateful acts. Triple H and The Undertaker get into it. Police get involved, and Stephanie wants a restraining order against The Undertaker, so that is done. Undertaker can't go within 50 feet or 25 feet of Stephanie. I forgot what it was said, but Regal ended up giving that to him. And Regal's in the McMahon's back pocket, so Taker screwed, right? Well, Taker ends up sending Kane out, his brother, to go and get Stephanie. And he ends up, Kane catches Stephanie and takes her backstage. And Regal wants to know, well, what do you want, man? Because Kane's holding Stephanie over like a flight of stairs, pressed like this. And he says, well, what do you want from me? And he said, I want a match with Triple H. He said, I can't do that. And then Undertaker said, Kane, send Stephanie down here real quick to talk. And then Regal's like, whoa. Okay, you got your match. And this led to Triple H destroying Undertaker's bike, stitches in the head for Taker, craziness. Triple H gets a live entrance for this one. He had Motorhead's theme played for him. Triple H, he's talking about how it's all about the game. Lemmy did a great job with this. It's so crazy how many people have passed away on this show, too. Very sad. Lemmy is super happy, though, and he's out there doing Triple H's theme, and it sounded really good, like on point, exactly where it needed to be. The Game, Triple H, he's out there. He's doing his thing. Great entrance. They play him all the way through. Triple H is hyped for this, you could tell. And The Undertaker comes out to keep rolling, yeah. And Limp Bizkit was the most popular thing at this time. This was during their Chocolate Starfish and Hot Dog Flavored Water CD period. Limp Bizkit was on fire. I don't care what anyone tells you. Limp Bizkit was over. Over with all demographics, different age groups. People loved Limp Bizkit in 2001. Don't tell me otherwise. They were popular. So they don't make mention really of Undertaker streak too much, but this is where you start seeing the talkings of it. And Taker hasn't really referenced it yet either. So this is match 9 for him to win. So he's won 8. Can he do it? Then JR mentions it in the very beginning that, hey, Undertaker's undefeated at WrestleMania. He's 8-0. Can he do it again tonight? And it's not a big deal. So this all starts with the classic Attitude Era brawl. They're fighting in the crowd. They're all over the place. The ref can't stop them. This leads to Undertaker going for old school. Triple H stopped him. He had a failed attempt at old school. And Triple H goes out to the timekeeper area. Mark Eaton is tossed like a piece of trash. And Triple H ends up grabbing a sledgehammer that he hit over there. And the game grabs the sledgehammer. And he's ready to beat the crap out of Taker. Taker sees it coming, stops him. And this leads to a catapult into a ref bump. Terrible. Undertaker gets a chokeslam on Triple H. 1, 2. Triple H kicks out. Undertaker's pissed. He stomps the ref and drops an elbow on him. Taker's supposed to be like an outlaw type character at this time. He's the American badass. Whatever. He starts dropping elbows, and Heyman's like, well, how was that good of him to do something like that? He's an outlaw and blah, blah, blah. And then, hey, anything goes now at this point, right? So this is the longest ref bump in history for how much talking that you're going to do and everything that you're going to see from this point forward. Count how long this referee is down. And I'm going to say something in the middle of this that's going to make you laugh. So Taker does all that, refs out. This leads to fighting into the crowd. They go over by the tech area, and they're fighting near these old-ass looking computer monitors. But this is 2001, so I guess I should be nice. And they're over there fighting, and Triple H grabs a chair, and they're like on a platform so everybody can see them. They're kind of raised up off the ground. Triple H goes to work with the steel chair on Undertaker's back. Not as bad as his later on WrestleMania matches with Taker, but he wears Taker out with that steel chair, and it's bent pretty bad. And after he does that, Triple H is going for another chair shot while Taker's like getting up. And Taker grabs Triple H by the throat, and he does a one-arm choke slam off the platform onto something below. As a kid, I thought this was so freaking sweet. Triple H looked like he busted his head down on, like, concrete. I don't know what the heck it was. It turns out later on it was just a platform covered, and there was some stuff under there. But really dope to see that. Taker dropped an elbow similar to how Kane did earlier. I don't know if that was foreshadowing or just a coinkydink, but very sweet to see that. So with all that being said, the ref is down. He's gotten no medical attention, no help, no replacement. And this has went on for quite some time. And they fight back in the crowd and back to the ringside area. Taker has Triple H down. And during that time, Taker eyes up the sledgehammer. His eyes light up like, oh, yeah, you're going to pay for this. Y'all going to pay. Sorry. So we get to the Undertaker grabbing the sledgehammer, and Triple H stops him begging, like, no, 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 please. And he hits him with a low blow. Classic stupid babyface move for him to hesitate even for a millisecond. Right before he was going to hit him, Triple H kicks him right in his crotch. Taker goes down, and now Triple H goes to use the sledgehammer. But Taker sees it coming, big boot to Triple H. And it looks like whoever's going to be the first to use that sledgehammer is going to win this match. So now they're exchanging punches, and Triple H goes for a tombstone on the Undertaker. The ref is still down, by the way. And Undertaker reverses it and tombstones Triple H. Puts the arms over, but there's no one to count. And the Undertaker is pissed. He's like, where is this ref? And then Taker says, you know what? Screw it. Last ride time. He goes to get Triple H, and the sledgehammer is placed perfectly for this spot. One of the most brutal spots in this match. He goes to put him between his legs. He goes to lift him up for the powerbomb. Triple H kind of quickly grabbed the sledgehammer that was in his hand. And when he goes to raise him up for the last ride, Triple H hits him in the head with the sledgehammer, tosses the sledgehammer out, and the ref begins to stir because, oh, the ref finally decides to wake up from that. Triple H gets the pinfall. One, two, Taker kicks out. Unbelievable. No one had ever kicked out of the sledgehammer shot, I don't believe, by that time. And the Undertaker was the first one, so kudos to Taker for that. Afterwards, Taker is bleeding. He becomes a bloody mess. He goes into the corner, and he's trying to, like, basically stand up. And Triple H goes, and he says, you know what? I'm going to climb up to the second rope, and he's punching him in his head. And this is before this spot was overused all the time. Taker drops his arm, similar to how mine are right now if you're watching on YouTube. His arms are dropped down to his sides. He comes up, and he's got Triple H up for the last ride, slams him down. One, two, three. And the Undertaker picks up the victory, making himself 9-0 at WrestleMania. I give this match a grade of a B+. Fun stuff right here. I think that this was a sleeper match. It was up there with Benoit and Angle. Like, really good. Like, real close. I didn't think it was as good because of the stupid ref bump spot. But other than that, really good match. Don't sleep on that one, guys. If you go back and watch the show, check out this match. Actually, watch every match from this. All right, let's see how much time we've got left here. Oh, I don't think this is going to be enough time to talk about this. We're going to stop this one, and we're going to do one last final part for the WWF Championship main event match. We'll be right back.
And the time is upon us, Paul.
The time is now. It's the match that both men need to win, and neither man can afford to lose.
Stone Cold Steve Austin will be in the main event at WrestleMania.
Oh, hell yeah!
A Rock is the WWE champion. A Rock is going to WrestleMania. 60,000 in the Astrodome. See the Rock, Stone Cold.
You think you're special, special. You do. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it when you laugh at me, look down on me, and walk around on me.
This is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
In the interest of fairness, did I inform you that officially, as of now, you are managing The Rock?
Austin's wife's managing The Rock? What the hell is that?
I never asked for Deborah to be my manager, never wanted Deborah to be my manager. But the fact of the matter is this, is she's not my responsibility. She's not my wife. She's your wife.
Angle is going to break Deborah's ankle, for God's sakes. Wait a minute, there's a rattlesnake.
You never, ever, ever put your hands on another man's wife. Austin warned him.
Hey, wait. Oh, the stutter.
Austin warned The Rock that if anything happened to Deborah, it would be The Rock's ass.
Let's just go ahead and take Deborah out of the equation. Bam, she's non-factor. The fact is, Rock, you got the WWF title, and I want it.
The Brahma Bull is furious. He's stalking Austin.
Set him up. He wants that rock bottom.
Here it comes.
He's
going
hooked.
The rock bottom angle from behind. All hell is broken loose.
Here comes rock bottom. Rock bottom angle. Look at Austin. Look at Austin.
Stop.
Butter.
How will the rock retaliate? There could be hell to pay for Austin.
The Stone Cold Steve Austin. The Rock isn't waiting until WrestleMania.
Your bald-headed, double-studded candy ass belongs to The Rock.
Wait a minute. The Rock just gave the Stone Cold Stunner. The Stone Cold Steve Austin.
How personal can this get?
Can you imagine what it's going to be like at WrestleMania?
Just one more fight and I'll be history. Yes, I will straight up shit, and you'll be the one who's left missing me.
You never know when you're gonna go.
drop of sweat, every drop of blood, every ounce of energy I have. You are going to get the absolute best of The Rock at WrestleMania.
I need to beat you, Rock. I need it more than anything that you can ever imagine. There can be only one World Wrestling Federation champion, and that will be Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, with all due respect.
Yo, big ups to my boys, Limp Bizkit, for the use of the song My Way from Chuck.
And we are back, folks, with the main event of WrestleMania 17. This is the granddaddy of them all. And on the podcast, guys, I'm going to have to include the audio for this. I'm going to have to play that promo package for you. So I know it's going to be a long 4 minutes, but you've got to hear it. I think it's one of WWF's best video packages of all time. It's definitely top five for me. Absolutely. Don't see how anybody can't like that video package. So we have The Rock defending the World Wrestling Federation Championship against the Royal Rumble winner, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And guys, the time is upon us, Paul. The match that both men need to win, but neither man can afford to lose. As I said, we get the classic video package. It's must-see. Howard Finkel then comes out and announces that this match is a no-disqualification match. So, nobody knows why that was added, but they're all figuring someone must want to see a winner, right? Stone Cold comes out. He has the Disturbed theme. And I don't know if you guys like that theme as much. I prefer the classic Stone Cold theme, but this theme just still like gives you that feeling of the Attitude Era and how great it could be when it wanted to be. And then we get the classic Rock 01 theme, Rock carrying the belt at his side. He doesn't care. The Rock's out there to whip ass, and he goes out there. The match starts, and these two are brawling right off the rip. They're the two biggest baby faces in the company at this time. Stone Cold, who's been hurt for most of the year, has come back, and he wants his top spot back from The Rock. The Rock has the top spot, and he's not letting it go. The brawl begins. They go into the crowd. Classic Attitude Era stuff once again. Are you surprised? Me either, because you're going to see that even if it's a Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown. People went into the crowd back then. The Rock slams Stone Cold Steve Austin's head on the announce table, and they get back in the ring. Stone Cold Steve Austin is freaking just trying to get the advantage. He finally does, and he starts taking the padding off the turnbuckle. And Stone Cold's willing to do whatever to win this title. The storyline has been built up that Stone Cold will do anything at all costs to beat The Rock tonight. So they've built it up very well. And The Rock and Austin trade blows. You're going to see that throughout this match. Lots of punching. So when I'm saying that they're just going back and forth, that's probably what it means. And they're back on the outside, and Stone Cold Steve Austin uses a ring bell, and bust open The Rock. And it's not often that we saw The Rock bleed, ever. I can't think of too many other times besides him, like, maybe bleeding from his mouth, getting a cut on his chest or something. But Rock didn't bleed like that back in the day. So afterwards, The Rock's busted open, and Stone Cold Steve Austin felt more favored in his home state of Texas. The fans are cheering Austin a little bit more and booing The Rock. Completely understandable. I was conflicted when I watched this live back then. I didn't know who I wanted to win this match because I love Stone Cold and The Rock both so much and kind of equally. I saw them at the same level, both main event players trying to do their thing. So they start battling once again, trading blows, and then The Rock gets on the upper hand, and he uses the ring bell on Stone Cold. He pins him. 1, 2, kick out from Stone Cold. Stone Cold's bleeding as well now, so both men are a bloody mess. Two baby faces, don't give a damn. They're using weapons, no DQ. The World Wrestling Federation title's on the line. It's the most important thing in the world at that moment, even to the fans, to the wrestlers, and that's something we need back in wrestling today. They're battling it out for this championship. Blood everywhere throughout the ring, and then all of a sudden they brawl some more, but nobody knows what to expect from the WWF's biggest performers. The Rock puts Stone Cold in a sharpshooter, and The Rock is trying to get him to tap, but Stone Cold goes for the ropes. The Rock walks him back into the middle, and people are like, oh my God, is it going to be over? Stone Cold eventually gets to the ropes, and he's told that he has to break it. Why, I don't know, but The Rock eventually falls over from being exhausted anyway. The Rock is getting up from off of the ropes, and then eventually Stone Cold puts The Rock in a sharpshooter. The Rock gets out, though, after a while, and Austin uses the Million Dollar Dream. In the Million Dollar Dream, we see the classic, if you guys are going into the archives, WrestleMania 8, the first WrestleMania I reviewed, Bret Hart, Roddy Piper moment. So he's got him in that sleeper, the Million Dollar Dream. Rock puts his feet up off the ropes, gets a pinfall. One, two, I could have swore it was almost over. Stone Cold barely gets his shoulder up. After Stone Cold Steve Austin kicks out of it, we end up seeing The Rock gets the stunner on Stone Cold Steve Austin. Remember what I said previously? They were using other people's finishers to try to embarrass them. So one, two, Austin kicks out once again. We also then have, there's so much going on in this match. Kick out, excuse me, Jim Ross is going nuts on commentary. He's like, Stone Cold kicked out. Stone Cold, Stone Cold, Stone Cold. You know how he was back then. And then here comes Vince McMahon. Now, Vince McMahon walks out. He's still in his ring gear from earlier on when he got his ass kicked by Shane. And The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin are exchanging blows until Stone Cold hits a spine buster on The Rock. He gets a near fall out of that. Then The Rock hits a spine buster and the people's elbow on Stone Cold Steve Austin. One, two, Vince McMahon pulls The Rock off of Stone Cold. They're like, what the hell's going on here? It didn't make sense because Vince had nothing to do with this storyline, really. I mean, he made Deborah The Rock's manager, as you guys will see in the video package. But other than that, what are you doing? The Rock gets pissed and he's chasing Vince. And as he chases him around the ring, he slides in. Stone Cold hits a rock bottom on him while he chased him. He goes for the cover. One, two. The Rock kicks out again. And back then, you saw some kickouts, but not like this. The Rock kicks out of a rock bottom from Stone Cold Steve Austin. Unbelievable. Austin goes for a stunner, gets pushed into the ref. So we have a little bit of a ref bump. Nothing too bad, but, you know, Earl Hebner goes flying out the ring. Austin is livid. He tells Vince to get a chair. Why would Vince and Austin do something like that if you're watching it for the first time? You've been watching all the way up to this point. Why would Vince even help him? So Vince goes and grabs a steel chair for Stone Cold. Stone Cold Steve Austin holds The Rock up and Vince nails The Rock with the chair. What? So after that happens, he goes for the pin. One, two, The Rock kicks out again. The Rock is not playing these games, and everything is happening so quickly. Austin's panicking. Vince has this stupid look on his face, and The Rock is putting up the fight of his life for the World Wrestling Federation title. Stone Cold becomes enraged. He says some explicit things that if you were watching his lips and you could lip read, you know basically what he's saying. MF this, MF that. I'm going to get this MF-er. Rock bottom as Vince distracts the ref, but then The Rock realizes the ref's not coming in, so he grabs Vince and pulls him into the ring. The Rock starts yelling at Vince, and then there's a Stone Cold stunner on The Rock. One, two, The Rock kicks out once again. He is not laying down for Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Stone Cold is shocked at this point. Vince gives Austin a chair, and Austin hits a chair shot on The Rock. Pins him again. One, two, The Rock kicks out. Austin is pissed now. And The Rock gets hit in the sternum by Steve Austin with the chair over and over and over again. And then The Rock gets his ass worn out with this chair. Stone Cold beat the shit out of The Rock with this chair. I remember watching this saying, like, dude, is he going to stop? Like, Stone Cold went crazy on him with this chair. This chair was bent, tore up. Like, no man should have ever gotten beat down that bad with that chair. He goes for the cover. One, two, three. Stone Cold Steve Austin is your new World Wrestling Federation champion. Stone Cold Steve Austin ends up shaking hands with Satan himself, Vince McMahon, and this is the night where Stone Cold Steve Austin turned heel. I give this a grade of an A-. I thought it was very well done. The near falls kept me into it because we all knew one stunner wasn't going to end it and one rock bottom wasn't going to end it. So the fallout from the match, Austin hits the Rock with the WWF title. Jim Ross is going crazy on commentary. Robert said hell freezes over. You damn right for that. And we're going to get into the overall show review after this, guys. That was it for the Stone Cold Steve Austin Rock match. Hopefully I provided enough insight for you guys to understand how big and important this match was. Despite the wrestling quality not being there, it still found ways to put drama into the match and keep you hooked. And I thought it was very well done. But we're going to wrap this show up, and I'll give my overall show grade right after this. All right, folks, we are back. I'm pretty sure you guys just heard Jim Ross making that amazing call to end the show. A memory that people won't forget. And I just want to get real reflective real quick about this. With the entire Stone Cold turning heel thing, I know a lot of people hated it later on. I completely get it. It makes sense. But at the end of this night, when I saw those ending credits for WrestleMania 17, I was in shock. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to do. I was like, dude, what's going to happen on Monday Night Raw tomorrow? Stone Cold Steve Austin's a heel now. Like, does this change everything? And I think to me, that moment when he shook Vince's hand, that was the end of the Attitude Era. And this is right before we get into this Invasion Era that we're going to deal with. But Stone Cold Steve Austin went heel. He felt like his character was stale at the time, and he needed this. So Stone Cold Steve Austin, he did what he had to do. He made a move that he thought was best for himself, and he thought that his character needed this. Did he at the time? I don't think so. I just think Stone Cold was a little too paranoid and into his own head that The Rock was becoming a big star, and he felt like he needed to do something to combat that. Stone Cold Steve Austin was the man. My overall show grade for this show, guys, A+. Not every match is an A+, but we had some really, really good ones. We had several matches that were in the A's. The Stone Cold Steve Austin Rock match was given an A. Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle were given an A. The TLC match was given an A. There were lots of B's on here, B+, stuff that was real close to A's as well. No problems with the show, guys. This is the best WrestleMania, in my opinion. If you ask me which one is the very best, this is it. And I wanted to save this for episode 50 because you guys deserved a big review. You guys are the best for listening to my podcast, following me on Facebook, following me on Twitter at EPW Show. You guys are the best fans that a guy could ask for. So I appreciate each and every one of you for that. But do me a favor, guys. Make sure that we're supporting each other out here in the wrestling community. Show some love to some other people. I'll have some big announcements coming up as far as certain things go. So you're going to want to make sure that you follow me on social media, either on Twitter at EPW Show or on Facebook. You can follow the Everything Pro Wrestling official page with over 1,000 likes. Or you can give me another follow in the Everything Pro Wrestling group. I am Conrad Cushman. You guys will see me posting there a lot, different podcasts and articles and stuff. So make sure you guys are in there and you follow me on there as well. We've got some big news coming up. I promise you guys are going to enjoy this stuff. I've worked very hard for you. for this past year. I'm almost coming up on doing the podcast for a year. I have busted my ass day in and day out for you guys, staying up late, being tired at work, doing anything and everything to try to make this work. I want to be known in this community as someone you could go to get their opinion on wrestling. And I want you guys to feel like you can have your opinions heard as well. So don't compare me to these other guys who don't let you speak unless you pay them money, or someone who doesn't acknowledge you ever in the comments. I always try to acknowledge every single person when I can. And maybe it gets out of control to that point, and I don't understand that yet. For some people, I'm sure it does. But there are other people in the community who ignore their fan base, and I refuse to be that person. Thank you so much for listening to the Everything Pro Wrestling Podcast. This is a show by the fans, for the fans, and it's always going to be that way. So thank you if you've ever had me on your show. Thank you if you've ever listened, and thank you if you've ever watched. This was episode 50, and I had a damn good time doing it. This is Everything Pro Wrestling, and I'm out. Peace.